How did you become a writer? Did you become a writer first or German? And how did you get into writing?
I got into writing still as a student. Me to translate it into the new orthography. But by then I had already shifted from Kosovo writing in English. And so I gave it to a friend to translate into the new orthography. But he never found the time. I remember one of his criticisms was that it was too serious a tragedy, and that there was no relief. He thought there should be some scenes where, you know, there was relief from the tragedy. So I said, all right, you put those things. I no longer have the time to go into that. But he never hide it. So that manuscript ended up with him. So Colin asked me the other day if I could get it away from him, going back to
the writer. Do you think it still exists?
I don't know, but
he showed it to us.
It would be a good thing if he still has. But unfortunately, in asking, he came here only about a month ago. I didn't, forgot to ask him. So that's how I started. And then now and again, I remember while Msebenzi was still there, Msebenzi was edited by S.P. Bandi, his Brian Swartman. I had an article also there, but it wasn't really a claim that I was a journalist. I wrote because I wanted to answer something that appeared in the paper and column. But when now, in 1936, I wrote a manuscript which was intended to be applied to a publication who was his chair, Tim.
Oh, Tim.
I think at Fort Hare there's a library, the Tim Library. He had published a book about the Chancellor somewhere. So I felt I couldn't handle this in a column in a newspaper. So I started writing something which was finally published in 1949 as Chancellor of the UK. So from then on my writing career has started. 1938, at the time when the Guardian was established, and a group of two chaps who had a jobbing business, you know, printing, saw this book, what came out of the book in 1939, being serialized in a magazine at Delver. So some people feel that you know you have a lot of self-African outlook. And I think theirs was the new outlook. So they asked me for this Christmas. And they started singing. Then they promised they would pay me a guinea per page, and which they never did. However, so we called off those series before they had won their first. Now, because these two chaps saw those series and felt that that was to give them a start for the newspaper. Now, they've been having their job in the world, but it was unadvertised. So they wanted a newspaper which would advertise their work. But at the same time, they said, well, you are not writers. Now, we've seen your series, you are a writer, and you would like to get your ideas across. Let's start a newspaper. You can run the paper. And, but it will also advertise.
So that's a PE.
It was in Devlin, outside. So that's how, now continuously I got.
Now what newspaper was that?
It was called then the Territorial Magazine.
And who were those two people?
Katanzua was one, and another was Bonga. Mm-hmm. Both of them had come from the Transvaal.
And where were you at the time?
I was teaching in Devlin. So that's how it was.
I've never heard of that newspaper. I mean, was it actual, is it a newspaper?
No, however, it got started, and I think by 1939, it changed the name to Inkundla. That year, but Inkundla, I want to start it off as Territorial Magazine. Then I left off his editorship from 1946. When his tour opened up his into a private company. And the other chaps now came into it, didn't like my ideas. To the benefit of their company. So they got someone else as an editor. It was Jordan.
And you were under the CP by then?
Not exactly. Mm. But my association with the CP was as short of a card.
Because you met Eddie Rue when he was camping outside Port Head.
Yes, I met Eddie there, and then our association continued from there. Then in 1940, I was taken on to the director of the party newspapers.
How long were you on that director? Until it closed?
Even beyond this program, until I now became an active journalist for the near age, that is about 1954-55.
Mm. And where were you based during this time? You were in Durban for some of the time?
Some of the time I was in Durban, some of the time I was in the Transvaal, some of the time I was PP. Mm.
And were you writing for the Guardian? When you were a director?
I wasn't really writing except on occasions. Mm. In 1994, the government issued a quite big on the betterment scheme for the native reserves. Now I wrote a and cities in the capital. I think I'm calling the funding for those pieces in the capital.
When did you come back to
me? I'm not sure.
It was late as that.
I
when you were in the trance coma, where were you?
No, in the teacher district.
As a teacher?
As a ashram teacher. I started teaching right in town at the school called Taylor Street School. That was long before the days of
our
school was right in Durban. Taylor Street, some say, you know, the declared behind the big hotel to see along the seaside. And so that's where I started teaching. And then from there I moved on, I think for about 15 or 18 months, Adams Coast, south, along the south coast. The chief of the coast was then Dr. Edgar Bruce. Principal of the high school was a great teacher. I didn't share his views on public matters, but a teacher in his state and his school the greatest admiration for the school. Then while there, I was invited in the Transvaal to take up a teaching post in the training school, not high school, in the training school, in charge of school method and psychology offered in those days.
What
happened
to be here? What is it to be
from 48 of the Bachelor of Arts and the psychology was amazing. Then shortly after the 1937, I was being lifted to be in social studies. So, but I only taught for a year and a half there, and the missionary completed my ideas and he fired me. So, when I was fired, then because I had already been, I wouldn't say campaigning, but explaining to the people the advantages and cooperation of the different. So, when I was fired, I decided rather than go elsewhere, I should give the idea a start. So that's how I got into that business.
You said you were on the directorship of the Belgian. Who were the other people on the time?
Reverend Thompson, yeah. Where they wanted to throw me out of I've been given the powers to handle all the judgments of the branch, the company. And so I signed my own reference book, and so they took me out. And that is, and however, we fought it successfully in court. And, but No sooner was I discharged, the same session of Parliament, they passed an amendment clause preventing any African from signing a contract, even if he was in a managerial
position. They probably hadn't thought of Africans being in managerial positions.
Exactly, when they passed the law, yeah. Yes.
When did you came to PE? What is that when you became manager of the branch of the newspaper?
You know, the paper was the Guardian newspapers that proprietor lead, that was the company. And then we ran the papers under their
company. And how did you end up doing that? Was that a full-time job?
Full-time.
As running in the newspaper?
Yes, that was a full-time job when you came here.
And how long did you do that for?
Until we went out of
63.
Yes, after the new age when the spark
and there.
No, those came before, the Clarion and the others came before.
62.
You see, Tiago came after the garden was buried, and then the advance came, I think, after the garden. And then advance was the subsidiary of the place was back.
Did you run the cooperative movements up until 55? Okay.
Then I went to petition again for, I think, about 15 to 19 months, and I was fired again. Then the felt that now was taken over. Then they discovered my past, they fired me.
But I understand you went to petition?
To teaching.
Oh, to teaching, yeah. And then after that you came here. How did you get into being the manager of the office of the project? And how did that come about? Did they say they wanted somebody in for you? Because you were there, they asked you to take it over?
Mm-hmm. When I was fired, I was teaching in my town, not in my town, doing schools. When I was fired, then Fred Kennedy and Ivan Seven people came around there in the fundraising. They got to know that I was there. So we arranged that I should come down here.
And that was a paid job?
It was paid, but it was just for everyone to hear.
And was it only you in the office?
Well, there were other people. It wasn't just in the office. So, and the only staff were two or three.
And what did you do? I mean, was it collecting stories and distribution?
Writing. And there were also these small publications.
Booklets.
And not only those of New Age, you see, emanating from New Age, but also booklets from, for instance, the publication by the first editor, David.
Fighting Talk.
Fighting Talk. There was a publication which was very good, and I got information.
And you would write for those and distribute them? How did you get your copy to Cape Town on a train? And what was the daily process or the weekly process? How did that work? I'm interested in that small detail.
No, I wrote and dispersed the story. Say, let's say the, our stories have to be taped out by Saturday. And then, but the deadline was Monday morning. And that, so the first one sent to Cape Town by Scoot Express, I mean, that was Friday, Saturday, by Express, I mean. And then anything that caught up over the weekend was by Press Telegraph, which one handed me to give me a midnight Sunday. When it involved the first thing in the morning. Sometimes, if it was absolutely very urgent, you got it on the plane between 2 a.m. and then advise them that and that collect the thing from the airport.
So then you would get the paper back. Mm-hmm. And how did you organize distribution?
You get all the offices, you don't know it, you are right, but I mean 4 main offices.
In this area?
No,
in the country, yeah.
Yeah. There was the Cape Town, there was the TP, there was Devon, there was Johannesburg offices. And then from these offices, we distributed to the surrounding areas. And, so when the paper came on Fridays, so many bundles. Say 2,000 or 3,000 or 5,000, depending on the requirements of the particular areas. Then you set around now distributing the various points.
Now, we need street sellers.
Street sellers.
And now, how many of them have to be?
Now, in PE, at first, it was a struggle to get people to allow a street seller in town. For some time, we were not allowed to be used to sell food on the streets. And so we used the ANC machine. Largely the ANC machine of the distribution of the food in the various parts of the Eastern Cape. And it was only at a very late stage, I think, in the late 50s, that we started to take awareness to several certain parts.
What is your distribution in the Eastern Cape? That's a terrible question to ask.
Yes. It was, I think it was Devon and this and PE, probably at the lowest. I can't remember the figure, but it was, I don't think it touched quite far.
And what was its effect, political effect, as a newspaper?
It was very popular, very popular. The literacy rate is here now. Karula is very popular. And then we're helped to a very great extent by the development of press photography. Now, even illiterate people like the pictures. They will buy the paper for the pictures. Get their children to school, their children to read and keep them some of their family.
Was there a lot of that? I mean, were people getting other people to read the paper?
Yes. And I say the literacy rate was too high here.
Have you any idea how many people read one copy of the paper?
I never read it. But it did go on quite a lot. And some people find it. are those things when it has been destroyed by the car? The wrong things.
Was it the main newspaper of the ANC before? I mean, was it the main newspaper the ANC used or saw as the mouthpiece of Trump?
It was the paper. You see, until as from the time when the ANC stopped publishing its own paper, which was in the early 30s, I went back.
Now, why did the ANC have its own paper?
The ANC was never stopped publishing. And when it did not manage to keep Avanti Bank, just didn't have the funds. You know, the group with whom I worked in Tectora magazine in Rabban got into difficulties during the progress. Talking about the media progress. Got into difficulties, serious difficulties, financial. And the company that had taken it over to do nothing. And this paper had put very large amount to one of C Trust something. And so I went back to the then president of the ANC, Dr. Kuhn, to suggest that the paper should be brought up by ANC.
Now, why could New Age afford it? Do you know where it got its funding from? New Age, where did it get its money from?
We got it from currency. From donations. It really didn't come out from, because we hardly had any investments. We depended a lot on donations.
Christmas clubs.
Well, that too, but for the daily run, we can get a donation. Every month, one to be on the street, to be on the streets, you know, with some people for donations.
To what extent was New Age a party paper? Because officially they always denied that it was party, but I mean most of the people who worked on it had been really in party.
Just to that extent, I suppose. I mean it was for all practical purposes, or not for all, for legal purposes, it was an independent group. But as you say, the people who were on it were party people. So, in that respect, therefore, involved the strength of the party.
Mm. See, what I find fascinating about New Age, or that period, is that the ANC is largely comprised of regional movements. It never, it only met sort of one or once a year for a session. So what kept the fabric together on a daily or weekly basis? It seems to me that the New Age was very important ideologically in keeping the struggle alive nationally, because it went back nationally. Yet, it was a newspaper that was quite strongly a party newspaper. So, it seems to me that the CP had often... Yeah, the CP had a very powerful influence in uniting nationally by using the newspaper. So, what I was saying is the paper had influence way beyond its circulation, or it had much greater influence than it might have if the ANC had a newspaper. And for that reason, it gave the party very great influence in struggle by way of that newspaper. And people have suggested that to me. I wonder how I meet when you were in the music. Was it for a very magical music?
You follow it in biological terms. One would say that there was some sort of symbiotic relationship between the party of the ANC and also the dependence or the influence of the newspaper and one of the other.
It was widely read and it was often a paper which made the line, if you like. It's the line given by New Age that was picked up in various regions. I think I'm not expressing it, but what I'm saying is that the paper became an organizer.
Firstly, the structure of the ANC, the fact that it did not once at the National Conference in the year. We didn't need a parade during the course of the year. Now the structures of the ANC worked at the national level, at provincial level, at the regional level, and at branch level. Now the branch was never closest to the grassroots. Now, the national executive carried out the resolutions of conference so to that these were implemented right through the world. Now, and the national executive didn't have limitations like those of meetings of once a year conference. The national executive met as frequently as it was necessary. Plus the fact that at the national level there was a working committee which saw to the daily running of the organization. The ANC didn't have professional people who say there is a professional revolution. And most of the work was done provincial level, regional. At best, there was a secretary at top who was paid. But beyond that, many people paid for coming out of it. Now, paper like New Age, the people who are running it, that is journalists, will have indicated that they were party members. Well, it is not just coincidental that it is so. But because the party itself can't work in a void, the party has to work amongst the people. And insofar as it has to work amongst the people, the publication that is done largely by members of the party, which is New Age, would naturally take into account the national democratic struggle. And it would not be something deliberate orthodox, I don't think so. It wouldn't be something that said, all right, we're only going to teach Marxist-Leninist ideas. They were pragmatic. They dealt with the situation as they saw it in the country. And therefore, the situation as they saw it in the country was that of national liberation. so the dovetailing was so natural and so complete that one couldn't really say that, oh, how they are teaching communism, or they are teaching something about national liberation. One couldn't really say so. But the magic was so natural.
And that would be why a newspaper like New Age would be in harmony with the ANC's
precisely.
Views. In what way was the thing like New Age used in campaign? For instance, in the Cape Town Charter, was it used to get people to sign up to get volunteers in? Did people have a consciousness of the media? And then see regional or branch media so early, who can use New Age for this and make it really appeal? Was there that media consciousness?
They accepted New Age as their people. People in the National Liberation Association accepted newspaper as their New Age as their people. Now, this was the position. And New Age reported and conveyed the ideas and policies of the ANC so that it had influence to that extent in matters of policy of the ANC. Not that it originated the policies of the ANC, but that when the decisions were taken by the ANC, it took them across to its own parts.
Mm-hmm. And did the ANC use it for campaigns or recruiting? Did they give stories to the paper to say that the campaign would grow?
Naturally. Here I am, I'm in the ANC, and I know before anybody else outside the ANC knows what the ANC has decided on. And the circumstances are surrounding in that type of decision. So when the rest of the press picks it up, they get what shall I say? They don't have the inside story that I would have.
So was New Age a very important mobilizer for the
next? Absolutely.
What other publications would the ANC turn to? Or the Indian Congress or any of the Congress movement? Were there any other publications that they used?
Any publication like Certain Hope?
So, what were the most important struggle media that you were trying to
talk about? The publications.
Publications of the retributive media?
There were a number. There were, for instance, the you have small publications like the Law Engine. These were to enable the members to know precisely their legal rights in the manifesto. And to know what they were required to answer or not to answer if they were part of the police. Now, there were similar smaller publications on a number of items. I forget some of them.
These are New Age publications.
Yes, you see, some of the things were civilized in the New Age, and then they would end up
into
a booklet, things like that. And, I remember there was another one, I think, by Ben Kuro, and by several other smaller populations. And they were all being sold through the office of New Age.
Now, another kind of question is, you in PE, you're a journalist, you're writing for New Age, you write where things happen, you know what the ANC is doing, you know what the movements are doing. What is your opinion during that time of the other newspapers, the E.P. Hale and the Dispatch, any of those poor newspapers? What do they look like sitting as progressive journalists? Were they the other side, or were they useful or not? How do they look?
Well, in any better sense than they are used to now. Say, for instance, in the Eastern Cape, the paper that was used to a larger extent than the Evening Post there. The Evening Post is finished in its earlier advertisements. And yet, under the editorship of John Sutherland, the Evening Post was a more powerful media instruction than the Herald. And everybody looked forward to seeing the Evening Post in the evening, especially the weekends. Now, I don't know what happened over the years that have been changed, but it's not worth buying the Evening Post. Now, the Herald, it has been difficult even to establish, what would I say, professional relationship between the staff of the Herald and ourselves. There was hardly any point of contact between the Herald and ourselves. Whereas we had it between the Evening Post and ourselves. We had people like John Sabat. We had people like Ian White, who is now at the top of the team. We had people like Dave Evans, who left the country from England, I don't know if he's still alive. And then we had people who died in the Congo, the fellow who grabbed the diamond producing area in the Congo.
And you explain. Was there a journalist from here who went up there?
That's right, he was killed there during those fights there. Mm-hmm.
So why was the professional relationship so bad with her? Because they were back in, or didn't support the movement?
Think they cared to report on anything that they missed. Now, this was the tragedy of the entire liberal white press in South Africa. As largely it is today, and that is, it did not appear to them that there was anything worth reporting about activities amongst the Africans. And probably they didn't know to the extent that the whites in town don't know what's happening here. They are genuinely ignorant. They will get a surprise when something big takes place. But they don't know what has been happening all along. But worse, there was an error that Costin, for instance, in foreign media. Costin is part of, is a servant of Port Elizabeth. Unlike Mugabe, he's a servant of Port Elizabeth, but is a poor servant and is largely occupied by what those days used to call non-whites, colors, Indians, Africans, Chinese.
So District 6 of PE.
That's right. Now, in this area, who knew amongst the city council about Costa except those who were member of the non-European Affairs Club. Sauda. Sauda knew about it. Sauda knew about the uprising, but the rest of the city countries didn't go to that place. And probably they had a reason not to go, because they would be hit by the stench of the place. You should have seen what the position was right across the street, Livingstone Hospital. There was filth, absolute filth, with pigs roaming across there, with dirt across the street. Livingstone Hospital. And people collecting water from communal taps. Now, these are the sort of things. Do you think that municipal councillors were kept to go to those places? They were, it was a crust of shambles. Did they know about it? They didn't. Did the press, local press, report on those things? They didn't. Because they themselves didn't go to those places. They didn't know what was happening. This was therefore the position of imagining liberal press, English press in South Africa. Now I say the last conference of the ANC in 1959, as far as I knew, there was only one white journalist who attended that. In 1959, when the ANC was most active, tell me that he was there, but I never saw him. Tell me, but I told my Benjamin was here about 2 or 3 months ago. I was saying that I never saw him. And I was presiding at that conference. And Benjamin Pogrand had already started as a journalist. Mm-hmm. And when he came here, he was working on a biography of Robert Sonoda. And because he only became a journalist around about 1958, he didn't know what happened before 1958. So that he portrayed a picture of Sonoda without taking into account what the role of Sobukwe was before 1958. And when he talked here and tells me that Sobukwe was completely non-racial, I say, but you are wrong. Not so. All right, I couldn't take this from you. He's writing his
biography. Is he still writing?
It should be about out for publication. And he promised to send me a commentary for the audio.
It's fascinating that you have, I mean, it's South Africa, and then it's reflected in the press. It's amazing that New Age is coming out, that the newspapers, the journalists aren't picking it up, reading it, using it as a source to go for the news. There's this total separation on the tape. And the white paper you're putting in, then you have to appear. And it's not get together.
Now, there was an important conference of the ANC in 1957. But at this, I also think there was only one white journalist. He was Jack. That was Jack Sherman. He's now in the then they had now developed the drum stable. And the drum stable was there, but the drum group were shall I say, uninformed journalists, in the sense that to them to be a journalist, you didn't have to associate with anything without good. And therefore, they wrote purely from a high pinnacle, looking down at things without being involved in what the people were doing. And they were very little better than the white press who didn't know the thing. But these fellows lived in the townships. But I did that. We couldn't be a journalist and be involved in politics. To have an objective view, we must keep out of the politics.
What's wrong with
you? No, I can't help you. There's no sitting on the fence in this country. You just have to take a ride. Even if it's politics of the Progressive Party or politics of the Nationalist Party. But I can't really believe that a journalist becomes so divorced from what is taking place around him that he can say, I'm not associated with anybody. I don't know how he can play. They play so.
Did you know this place?
I did.
What's so generous about you?
No, Ruth was a wonderful person. Ruth was a wonderful person. Ruth was a great journalist. And Ruth was also active in the political struggle. Not in a small way, in Asia. She has some of the keenest minds in France. On Broken Island, we did, you know, have a surface after her death. Now, I didn't want to do it in Paris. Unfortunately, I managed to turn that curve out, as I did also. I spoke with those, but my son is the one I thought was my mother. Merely to please the editors. The fellow sits down here and says, what will appeal to the editor? All of a sudden, the editor can throw this out. And so he writes in order to please the sub-editor. She wrote because of her convictions. And because she is pushed forward, she's propelled by her own convictions. And the difference between what she writes and what she believes in, what her own ideological outlook is, so how do you, you'll not be able to draw a line, except that across the ideas that one cherishes. And I should say that everything
What was she like as a person?
Well, in that, that's a great idea. If you can embrace yourself, I do the things as a truth, as a human, as a gender, as a woman, and the truth as an adult. I do the things as a truth. That woman is a good one. If you met a roof, you are at a meeting with her, and you are listening to her, striving to get her point across, you probably come out of the meeting and say, what will she be like when she gets home? I don't expect so. And the woman goes home. You are welcome. And the roof is very warm. And as a cooker, sitting right at the TV, very frequently, on a very much great number of occasions, and people felt at home. That's how I felt too. If you get her at a meeting where she's struggling to put her views across, you would think that when she gets home, I'll fear probably to go to her home. And you find it was a different person. It's so brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And even when she put her point of view across at a meeting, no, I was going to use it, but it was not in a bad way. No, that's not what I'm trying to do. But it was not intended just to break one's nerves. It was intended to argue out a point. And without necessarily hurting people. But she did that. And then did it honestly and friendly. No, I don't suppose any understanding person should quarrel with that. And we got home, had dinner with her, had home. She was fine. She wrote, she put her points on. But as I say, even there, it had to be couched in such a way that person who reads that did not sniff at it and say, it's all confident stuff. He would say that. You would have to face the fact that there are things, facts before one. Now, people in this country are very fond of labeling things. You know, on one occasion, statement comes up in Parliament. Swat. Right. Swat. His attention is drawn to a statement that came out in New Age. Instead of Swat examining the truthfulness of that statement, says, it's communist. Now, it's not that sort of thing. And so, in writing, one had to be careful that what one wrote was read. So So you would want to paint your own writing to give it a color that is red. That's right, it's not like. And also, as the editor, take fighting talk. Fighting talk was a serious publication, magazine, or whatever they call it. It was a serious affair.
I found four of your articles in it.
Oh. Yes. And, excuse me, and, I don't know if people will be able to judge better. But I think it was balanced in the sense that the views it put across. When vulgarized, there were views that were put across and added out. Then, if one does not face effects, effects become too bitter. Then, of course, it will be vulgar to be. But I thought past was a genuine.
It's one of the best views of the 1950s that I have seen. It documents the 1950s wonderfully because of art that balance. It has all the views in it. Long debates with the Liberal Party, discussions about things happening all over Africa. You want to use a very balanced communication.
See this tape, and I'm not Eddie. Eddie Rule had shifted a lot. Eddie Rule had left the commission. And, but not only that, he went across from duty to the Liberal Party. And yet, both did commission Eddie Rule, as you probably have come across in talking to him, to write articles.
Did that openness not conflict with other members of the party who would want to be more orthodox? How do people feel about her going to exile? Was there any debate about whether they should leave the country or not at the time?
Shortly before our arrest, there were very active people going to the country to come to the disturbance.
Yes.
Yes. And especially the whites. And we did issue a statement, not for publication, but it went out to the army to indicate that we were not better. But there was this difference in those states. It was sheer luck that Vuvonia was not, that this was not a Vuvonia era.
I was going to ask you why not.
Just by sheer luck. Right. And then Joe had been sent out on a mission by us. After those arrests, of course, he came here, he didn't come back into the country. And both a son was detained for a few months. Now, short of saying one doesn't want to break up the family life, what could have been expected of her if her husband was there and she was here?
So there was a feeling that she had to go,
There was no time to decide on such things, but my own feeling was it was not important for her to enter the country.
How did she not get caught up in the war? Unless that's a difficult question. I mean, I can switch off the tape. Because I have heard stories about that, that they thought the people were going to get the death penalty and they didn't want to wipe one of them there because they didn't want to make the public. They thought that you people were going to get the maximum penalty for the treason. And they didn't want a white woman to be involved in the case because that would have made it a difficult decision because the courts are there, you know, the courts are honest. The public might not have liked that kind of decision. That's one of the stories I've heard. I'm not sure how true.
Is that the explanation?
I'm just wondering.
For the fact that she was not present, she was not at the room. See, we have had a meeting in previous week. And the fact that is little known is that